This is the problem that academia is not addressing. They all speak of dealing with supernatural forces. Now, they use the word gods. People don't like that word, but supernatural forces is a little less controversial. But clearly, these were very powerful beings. I mean, just as you say, both the Egyptians and Mayans had an accurate calendar thousands of years before the Christ, the coming of the Messiah. They knew the exact dimensions of the soul, not the dimensions, but the dynamics of the solar system. They could, they knew that the Earth was a planet and orbited around the sun. They had to know that in order to create a calendar. They knew the exact length of the orbit, the exact rotation on the axis, thousands of years before Christ. And then you have the Dark Ages, where all of that knowledge is lost, and you don't see it begin to get rediscovered until the 17th century. I mean, when Columbus set sail in 1492, it's required belief by what we call modern science that the Earth is located at the center of the universe. So you can see there's an enormous cataclysm that takes place there. We lose all of that knowledge. We lose the ability to read and understand the hieroglyphics. We lose the ability to use their great mathematical skills, the great engineering skills. All of a sudden, man is left alone on the Earth, and this is an incredible cataclysm that's, to me, being ignored. And there's, I think, biased reasons why they're being ignored in academia. For one thing, the atheists are not going to deal with it, because if they do, they're going to have to admit the existence of the gods. And on the other hand, the theologians don't want to deal with it, because if they deal with the collapse, they're going to have to admit the fact that those gods are no longer dealing with man. So it's a big problem for both sides, and I've tried to walk the middle of that, and my research is taking me to a different conclusion altogether.
Is it easy to walk the middle?
No, it's not, and that's why you're... I have to tell you, your audience is such a pleasure, because I've been banging my head against academia for a long time. And to come to a show like this and get the kind of response I got, the open minds here, that's what I would love to see academia doing. And by the way, that's Coast to Coast does what academia should be doing. Accepting all new concepts, test them, see what stands up, what doesn't. Instead, they have two basic paradigms, atheism and theology. Anything that comes at them, they funnel through those two concepts, and if they don't fit, you're ignored. So it's a big problem.
You know? So we think outside the box with this program, and you know, we look at a number of different concepts. We might not believe them, maybe we do,
right.
But at least we need to give everybody the exposure in order for people to make up their own minds.
Well, I listen all the time, and I find all of it both entertaining and interesting, and some of it absolutely compelling and fascinating. And actually, a lot of my research was turned around by a show Art Bell did many years ago, which, as we go through the theory, I'll explain that to you later, but it played a major role in how I came to this conclusion.
All right, we will do that. You have titled your book, The Awful Truth for Those Who Dare to Know. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. Titles mean a lot to me, and you picked this one for a reason.
Yes. An awful truth is a truth we already know. An awful truth is a truth you have an inkling of, but you just don't want to face it. And the awful truth is that atheism and theology can't both be right. They one could be right, or they could both be wrong, but mm-hmm. they can't both be right, and we are not addressing that. We're continuing to teach both of these paradigms to our children and in our universities, and first of all, they both have very violent histories. The atheists have killed over 300 million people worldwide. They've enslaved entire continents in dictatorships. And so, now they use the euphemism communism, but it's actually atheism. Communism is the economic system of the atheist. So you can see that we continue to teach these same paradigms over and over and over and over, and we never address the awful truth that they can't both be right. One of them at least has to be wrong, so if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we're going to have to address and find out, at least if one of them's wrong, which one is it, and stop teaching it, or go ahead and, which is my position, they're both wrong, then we got to look for the solution to that and find a new paradigm.
The introduction to you about history affirming supernaturals ruled the earth in the ancient world. When you set out to prove your theory, how did you go about it? I mean, what direction did you first take?
Well, I started in the biblical side. I was born and raised a Catholic, and eventually went into the born-again movement and then into the independent Christian movement. And all the way along, I was progressing along, getting more and more knowledge. And finally, in the independent Christian movement, I was taught that you didn't need anyone to interpret the Bible for you. You could do it yourself. And it's a long story and a very interesting story how I went through that. And actually, I've written a book about it that will come out later on. It's actually funny, all the incredible things that I went through in religion. And finally, came to the conclusion by a conversation I had, a long debate at the time, it was actually just a little before I went into the born-again movement, the independent Christian movement, that I got this concept. And what happened was I was having a debate with a fella who was in the Pentecostal religion, and I was in the Nazarene church, and we had a huge, long discussion for hours at my dining room table, and at the end, we had gotten nowhere, so guess what? We get up, we each handed each other one of our books, and his was named The King's Kid, and mine was Devilish Tongues or Gibberish, and so it was ridiculous, you know? But as we got to the door and we were leaving, and he was a very close friend of mine, and we hugged and kissed in a Christian embrace, you know, and he whispered in my ear, "Pat, we can't both be right." Meaning, of course, that he was, you know?
Exactly.
But it was incredible that he said that, because just the day before, I had read in the newspaper a little clip from the Christian Encyclopedia that said there were 7,500 denominations of Christianity. Well, there's over 30,000 today. But what that said to me was, whoa, wait a minute. I get into bed and I couldn't sleep, and that phrase kept coming back to me. And at one point I said to myself, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe something way back early on went wrong, and we're all arguing from erroneous positions, and that's why we can't reach a conclusion. And then, in a heartbeat, a scripture came to me that I had tried to ignore. It was my awful truth. I saw the scripture and didn't want to deal with it. It was Matthew 16:28, and the Messiah says to his disciples, "There are men standing here that will not taste of death till they see the coming of the Son of Man." I was waiting for that second coming.
And so many other people
did. They're going to see it. Not me, them. So I got up out of bed, I went downstairs, and I got out my Bible, and I started to research that, and that's where the journey began. And it's been now over 20 years, and I've had plenty of time to solidify the evidence, and I'm convinced that I've got the goods on this.